Blog Talk Radio.
When you find yourself in danger, when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome, finally, welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author Pat Foreman. Today is Monday. Let me tell you, it's definitely a Monday, August the 30th, and I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the world. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button at our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about backyard poultry, show poultry, and sustainable living. I'd also invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at our homepage at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro.
ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. so try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Presenting the Clapper. Let your appliances turn on and off just by clapping.
Clap on, clap off, clap on, clap off.
The Clapper.
McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at McMurrayHatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery. Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
Today's secret password is silky. Yep, today's secret password is silky.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waterers, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at MountHealthy.com. That's MTHealthy.com. Or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for your patience and staying with us today. It is definitely a Monday, and I will explain all here in a minute as soon as I welcome my wonderful co-host and author, poultry advocate, Pat Foreman. Welcome to the show, Pat.
Hey, Whisper, I was a little worried about you there for a minute. My goodness, was that the Chicks for Charity thing? That must have been a huge event. So can you believe the weekend went by in the blink of an eye, so to speak? How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. I'll just start off with last week. Man, last week, it's a week I will not soon forget. It was an amazing week, but a very hard and busy week. Thank goodness, and I just want to send a shout-out. I've got a lot of people to thank. But thank goodness for, number one, my personal assistant, Christina Duncan, for coming down. She lives about 2 hours away. She came down last Saturday and stayed the entire week here with Jen and I. And, of course, her two children, Brighton and Laura, they were a huge help as well. But there's just no way in the world we could have got everything we got done last week without them. So, number one, a shout-out and a big thank you to Christina Duncan, who is my personal assistant, and, of course, her children, Brighton and Laura, who came down out of their busy schedules and their life to get this done, both for the Chicken Whisperer radio show stuff that was going on and the Chicks for Charity. So, but those of you who didn't know, last week, a very, very busy week getting ready for Chicks for Charity. Jen and I and Christina, since she was here and her kids, we had over 1,100 baby chicks come through the front door of my home. Just about every day the post office called, your baby chicks are here. We picked them up, thank goodness, and another big thank you to the Atlanta Backyard Poultry Meetup Group, who was really the big event host, if you will, and to all the volunteers that were foster parents for these 1,100 baby chicks. We probably had about 7 or 8 different foster parents that came all the way up here to Alpharetta. No matter where they lived in Atlanta, picked up the chicks, had brooders set up for them. Some took 100, some took 200, and they kept them for some came in the Friday before, so they kept them a week. Some just kept them overnight. Some kept them for 2 days. But thank you very much for all the foster parents who fostered baby chicks for this big event we had Saturday. And if you missed it, of course, it's posted on our Facebook page. I was on Fox Business News nationwide live TV on Friday, and that was really interesting. I got some really fun pictures. I don't think I've posted them on my Chicken Whisperer fan page yet. I did post them on my personal page. If I have time today, I'll put it there because I got some really funny pictures. I took the producer in New York wanted me to bring a live chicken, being the Chicken Whisperer. They thought that would be great, and I really had no problems with that, Pat. So, but the funny thing was, I got some really cool pictures of. We took Ruby. She's a Rhode Island Red. Cleaned her up, gave her a bath the night before, the whole 9 yards, had her looking real spiffy. And, of course, I got pictures of her in back of the a limo. It wasn't a stretch limo. It was a black, Lincoln Town Car sedan they picked me up in, and Ruby. And so I got some really cool pictures of Ruby in the back seat of the black limo sedan taking us down to the Fox Studios. So that was priceless, the famous Ruby the chicken now. And so that was really fun, getting a picture of the chicken in the back of the car. Got down there, and I'll just tell you my personal experience. It was a great experience, but I'm sitting there. I have chicken. I've got Ruby in my lap, and I'm all wired up. I'm in front of this big plasma screen, which is a live shot of downtown. And I had this earbud, and the whole thing is kind of going on. And right before they go to commercial, before they bring me on, I hear her the talking points, I guess, before the commercial. And she said something like, and when we come back, we have a man called the Chicken Whisperer that's going to tell us why we should – I forget exactly the term she used, but she said something, Pat, like why we should never buy eggs from the grocery store ever again or something like that or something about why we should never buy factory farm eggs or whatever. And, of course, it caught me off guard because here I am pretty much for that interview representing the USDA as the official spokesperson for the Biosecurity for Birds program. I had not been really preempted on it. What even subject was, I assumed it was going to be on the egg recall and backyard birds and the advantages, and it really ended up being a pretty good interview because at that point I was thrown off guard, and I'm like, okay, how am I going to get out of this mess? Because I'm not there to bash, really factory farming. I'm there to really push keeping backyard chickens and buying local, but I wasn't there by any means to bash factory farming. That would have been another show. And so I thought it was just going to turn into that. So in my mind, Pat, it was going a million miles an hour. Okay, how am I going to get out of this? How can I turn this and spin it back? But when she came on with her line of questioning, it really wasn't that at all. And so most of her questions had really the same answer, which was, if you can, buy local, find a local farmer, or keep chickens in your backyard. We did.
Our front yard.
Our front yard, yeah. I did happen to squeeze in the which is so hard on these interviews, but I did happen to squeeze in the website for the USDA APHIS program. And then when she talked about, she had some organic eggs sitting there at her desk in New York. She was going to drink raw like Rocky did and whatnot. And she says, now I've got some organic eggs here. What do you think about that, Chicken Whisperer? And I told her, I said, well, really, people need to educate themselves about what free range really means, the true definition of free range, according to, of course, the USDA, the true definition of cage free, according to the USDA, and the true definition of organic. And my understanding is organic doesn't mean the chickens are treated any more humanely. They're just fed an organic diet, or the feed that they're given is organic. So what I've done because of that is I haven't had time this morning. I've got the business card sitting right here. I'm going to contact the USDA, my contacts there. I'm going to see if we can have somebody come on, maybe as early as tomorrow, but sometime over the next few days, next couple of weeks, and come on and tell us the difference between grade A, grade B, grade C, and non-gradable eggs. Tell us the technical, legal difference of cage-free, free-range, organic, and then, of course, the regular store-bought eggs. So we're going to try to have them on and teach us and educate us on all of that because, again, I think it surprises people when they see free-range eggs and they actually just think that they think of old McDonald's farm and they think about the chickens just free-ranging out there in the beautiful green pastures, not realizing what that really means. So we're definitely going to be able to – we're going to try to get them on and cover some of that information with us. So the interview went really well. No problems there. Got back home and then continued working until late in the night for Chicks for Charity. Brighton and Laura making the posters, and the Christina and my wife getting all the volunteer lists ready. You know, really the whole nine yards, doing so much work. And then of course Saturday came, and we up early, headed down there to the Decatur Farmers Market in downtown Decatur, Georgia, which is just a little suburb just barely north of downtown Atlanta. It's a very green city. It's a very sustainable city. They do allow backyard poultry, great farmers markets. But we were at the Decatur Farmers Market, and all the great volunteers of the Atlanta Backyard Poultry Meetup Group convened on this one farmers market. We had probably about 70 or 80 volunteers, which was great. We set up all the tables, the signs, the chicks. We had everything done. And to explain to everybody what happened was we had kind of a long, must have been 15 tables in an L shape. We had a sign, people, you know, we had a volunteer table for sign-ins where they signed in and get assignments to what they were going to do. And then the people started coming at 9 when we actually opened, and they had to get at the first table. They received a trifold front and back pamphlet about all the care needed for their new baby chicks and continuing education sites and everything like that. And they actually had to talk to and consult with current chicken owners about the care and the responsibility for the years to come and all the benefits and some of the responsibilities. Then they had to fill out a Georgia Department of Agriculture form, which they filled out, and then they had to move down the line, and we actually had a certified avian vet from the United States Department of Agriculture there and answering any questions. He manned the table with all the information from CDC and the Department of Ag and healthy birds and the whole nine yards. Then they actually got to pick their birds. They could take a minimum of 4. We weren't giving away less than 4 because we wanted them to start off with a good flock. So a minimum of 4, maximum of 6. Most we encouraged to take 6. They picked out their chicks, all different types of breeds. And then they turned the corner, and we had a representative there from TC Country Feed and Seed. They do carry the ManaPro products, and they had everything they needed: feeders, waters, brooders, lamps, lamp bulbs, shavings. You name it, feed, the whole nine yards, so they could get everything they needed right there on the spot. We had a couple of folks from two different chicken tractor companies. I know one actually sold 2 while he was there with their tractors they had on display, handing out business cards and things like that. It was really a huge, huge event, and fun was had by all. We raised actually $600 for our charity, which was the East Atlanta Kids Club, and so we did raise $600 for the club, which was absolutely wonderful. And so we'll be a check on behalf of the Atlanta Backyard Poultry Meetup Group from the Chicks for Charity to the East Atlanta Girls and Boys Club. It's that kind of type of club, but it's the East Atlanta Kids Club. And so we'll be doing that probably over in the next 30 days, presenting that check to them, which is going to be awesome. And so it was really a great event. I met lots of people, and, of course, while we were there, the other vendors of the farmers market had all kinds of organic breads and jellies and jams and corn and peaches and all kinds of veggies. It was absolutely wonderful. But the funny, and it's not really funny, I guess I'm probably lucky to be alive, but to tell you, if you tuned in on Saturday, we were to broadcast live at 10 o'clock.
so we I got about 9:30, I guess. I got over to the little broadcast table and fired up the laptops, the laptop sticks, the mics, the whole nine yards. People were still coming up asking questions. Finally, I just had to say, okay, I got to go live here in just a few minutes, whatever. So right literally as the theme song starts to play, okay, Pat, and we are live, unbeknownst to me, I had absolutely no idea this was happening, no clue at all. And you can already see poor Andy here from Love for Poultry, my personal assistant. She was there. No clue at all. Just all of a sudden felt something on my arm, lifting it up off the arm of the chair at the table, and this really, really spooky, scary-looking, thought I was going to die, type of caterpillar fell off my arm onto the table. And we were under a bit. I'm not kidding. I mean, this thing.
Well, I told you those mealworms that have their revenge.
You got that right. Let me tell you. So here I am thinking, oh, my gosh, it's the attack of the killer caterpillars. And so I look at my arm, and at first I didn't see where he maybe have stung me or bit me or anything. And then next thing you know, they start forming all these little bites or stings on my arm. And I just started counting. And this thing, I don't know if he intentionally did this or maybe he was actually on the arm of my chair and in the process of putting my arm on the chair and then typing something, putting my arm on the chair, it just got me. But I ended up counting where it had either stung me or bit me. I don't know what this caterpillar did. It was a fuzzy, funky-looking thing. Over 20 times, whether it be stings or bites, between my wrist and my elbow. And
oh my God.
Man, it started itching like the devil, I'm telling you. So I had, and of course, being many days as a paramedic and EMT, that was my full-time job for about 7 years. I said, okay, let me analyze this. I really couldn't even concentrate to do the show. So Jen was in the chat room. She said, okay, folks, we don't really have good connectivity here in this hole anyway. So we're just going to, tune in Monday. Thanks for tuning in today. No problem. So I had a meetup member. She ran up to the drugstore, brought me back some Benadryl. I don't carry like a little first aid kit with me whenever we travel, but just we're local, so I didn't even think of it. So she brought me back some Benadryl and some the cortisone 10 hydrocortisone cream, and I took not one but two Benadryl, 50 milligrams, and that's what we would give injection on the ambulance when we would do that. So I took two Benadryl, 50 milligrams, and then of course I just caked my arm with this hydrocortisone cream, and it made it tolerable. But I started going through all my paramedic days. Okay, let me see. I have no difficulty breathing. I have no swelling. I have no, I don't feel like I'm having difficulty breathing. My tongue's not swelling. My arm's not swelling. I'm not having hallucinations. I don't have any headache. I'm not dizzy. I'm not seeing things. I don't have severe stomach cramps. I was going through all this stuff. I got through the day, and I said, okay, I'm probably past the initial anaphylactic, allergic reaction stage. And then, of course, 24 hours went by, and I said, okay, I'm not having any bone aches. I don't have the high fever. I'm not having the chills. I'm not having this, that, or the other, going again through my old paramedic days. And then now we're at 48 hours, over 48 hours into this, and my arm's pretty much cleared up. You can kind of see some of the worst bites or stings that are still there, but most of them have cleared up. Over the weekend, about twice a day, they would start flaring up or itching. So I've gone through a tube of hydrocortisone cream, it seems like, over the weekend. But now it's been over 48 hours, and knock on wood, I haven't had the kidney failure, the liver failure, the hallucinations, the high fever. So far, I think that I'm okay. But you still never know.
I don't know. Whisper. It might have been a rabid caterpillar. I mean, probably had to go into quarantine. And,
it might have been.
Oh, my goodness. Did the Benadryl make you drool?
Well, yeah, no kidding. 50 milligrams. Yeah, it was, I did okay. My eyes were very heavy, but it was a great event. I was talking to people. I made sure that I kept talking to people so I'd get my mind off of it and stay focused, and it was really, really, really well. So it ended up being a great event, but here I was ready to go live, and I just looked down, and there's this big yellow furry fuzzy caterpillar that's been eating on me for the last who knows how long, and I just couldn't concentrate. I'm thinking, okay, I'm either going to collapse dead right here, and my mouth's going to swell up and die, or I'm going to start having nations and this thing's toxic to me or whatever. So, but not you never know. They may have.
Well, you're still with us.
I'm still with you. This thing may have a shelf life of, you know, 30 days, and in 30 days I'll start having some symptoms and whatever. But anyway, I'm taking care of it. The Benadryl work, the hydrocortisone, the bites visibly on my arm are about gone, and so far no reaction. So we're hoping that it was just chalked up to just, you know, whatever it was. And so so other than that, so yeah, it's been a really crazy weekend. Now, even today, are you ready for this? It's never ending. I've had a few things to do that I had to do this morning, this, that, and the other, and I'm getting ready for the radio show. And y'all know I normally have two or three computers on my desk, that I'm broadcasting on one, emails the other, Facebook, you know, the whole nine yards. And and literally right at 2 minutes until 12, 2 minutes from when we go live today, my internet just completely shuts down. I mean, everything. And then I know, and what I thought it was, and what it ended up being, was I'm upgrading, of course, for better quality for the radio show and all of our listeners, and it's for the better good of this show. I'm upgrading today, this afternoon, to this new thing called AT&T UVerse. It's supposed to be like the fastest internet on the planet, and so I've got as fast as I can get DSL right now, which helps. But this is supposed to be literally twice as fast as the fastest DSL you could possibly get in your home. So I figured that's what it was. And so sure enough, I said, no problem, I can handle this. We always have backups, as our regular listeners know. So I immediately put in the laptop stick, and because I knew I could get a signal through a T-Mobile laptop stick, and so that's what we're doing now. So, again, I saw some comments earlier. It's a little bit maybe not quite as clear, but that's because I'm not using my studio setup with my nice studio mic, and it's not going through one computer, and I have the through Skype, and then the other computer has the chat room and the webcam on it. So that's why there's no webcam today. That's why there's no webcam today, because I don't want to run everything on this one, even though it is the Mac Daddy, the one laptop, just because I want sound and the chat room to come through okay. But it doesn't end there. So I just assumed that they were taking me off the DSL line and hooking me up to whatever the fiber optic, the UVerse Mac Daddy internet. And sure enough, right as my theme song is ending and I'm ready to go to the Super Chicken theme song, ready for this, my doorbell rings. And so, you know, I'm like, okay, it's probably AT&T. I have a 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. window. I don't know why they're here 2 hours early. That's pretty much unheard of. But sure enough, go to the door, and it is AT&T, and they said, yes, we have disconnected your DSL from the up the street, so we can transfer you over to this new plan that somebody else will be here later. I'm here to basically get it from the street to your house. Someone else will be here from 2 to 4 to actually come in your house and get the thing installed, blah, 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 blah. So that's why there was delay after the theme song of today's radio show, because I was at the door just to see if this person needed access to the inside of the house and to get me going as far as the new upgraded supersonic speed of DSL. So again, all this, appreciate everybody's patience and dealing with that, but it's all for the better good as far as the radio show, the clarity, the sound, the whole nine yards of the system. So hopefully tomorrow we'll be up and running on our new system, and everything should run a little bit faster, maybe a little bit clearer and whatnot. So just all this just comes to play in this 1 week or this one weekend. So who knows? So we'll see if I'll keep you all posted. If all of a sudden I start having some weird type of antics or something goes on, or any type of health issues that come from getting bit or stung by this crazy furry yellow looking caterpillar over 20 times on my left arm. So we'll just see. If not, tune in. Tune in every week. Go ahead.
Harper Hinn says that you might have another TV appearance coming up. Monsters Inside Me.
I've seen that advertised on I don't even know what channel it is, but I've seen that advertised a couple of times. Yeah, because, yeah, you never know. You know what? I thought the other day that maybe because I've been bit by this caterpillar that I'll turn into Caterpillar.
Spider-Man.
I have super caterpillar powers like Spider-Man had, only but whatever superpowers a caterpillar might have. Maybe I'll turn into a butterfly and be able to have flying powers. Who knows? But yeah, maybe. Yeah. But since, what was it? Peter Parker got bit by a spider and had all these superpowers. Maybe it's because I got bit by this caterpillar. I'll turn into a butterfly or something. Who knows? Super Chicken Whisperer, as somebody said here in the chat room. So anyway, that's so far as what's been going on in Chicken Whisperer land. So you can tell how it's been a little crazy. I did happen to remember to get the secret password out for today. I wanted to get that out first so I wouldn't forget it later in the show. So we got that done. Also today's show, a little bit later in the show, we did this Friday when we welcomed ManaPro to the show. We had Jennifer Honacki, who's the director of marketing there. She came on and gave away one package of Happy Hen Treats from RandallBerkey.com. But I think that's all we had time for because I had to get down to the Fox News studio. So today it looks like we're going to be giving away because every Monday is sponsored by Crazy K Farm, makers of the Hen Saver Hen Apron. So we'll be giving one of those away today. We'll be giving away the other portion of the Happy Hen Treats. I think we gave away Mealworm Frenzy on Friday. So today we'll give away Sunflower Sensation from RandallBerkey.com. And, of course, today we're going to try to give away 600 pounds of ManaPro Egg Maker Laying Pellets from ManaPro, which is basically one 50-pound bag for every month of the year. So you'll get 12 50-pound bags, and I believe the way that's going to work is you'll receive 12 coupons. Each coupon is good for one 50-pound bag. I don't know if you'll get those all at once or you'll get one of those a month from ManaPro. I'm not sure exactly the details there, but Friday we gave away 600 pounds, which is the equivalent of 12 50-pound bags, and today it looks like we're going to be giving away 600 pounds of ManaPro Egg Maker Layer Pellets to one lucky listener. And when we cover the chicken trivia contest a little bit later in this radio show. So because I have absolutely no internet right now, I'm going to ask Christina if she would instant message me through the chat room today's chicken trivia questions. So I'll have those up and ready when we get to that a little bit later in the show. So now that's all about my weekend and my day, and an extra day Friday and an extra day today Monday. So a little bit more than just my weekend and everything that went on. But so, Pat, can you top that?
No, I cannot top that. I wouldn't even want to try to top that one. No. That was a unique life peak experience, I think, that you had this weekend. So,
no,
I can. Yeah, really. I just wish I would have been there. I think. I hope there's a lot of pictures. Love the pictures. Oh dear! But I can say that the chicken tractor workshop over at Edible Landscapes went really, really well. We had so much fun. They had a couple of chicken tractors there. They're about around 20 to 25 in attendance. And then God bless Michael McConaughey. At the end of it, he said, "Pat, go ahead and pick a plant. Why don't you just take one with you for coming over?" And he gave me a ginkgo biloba tree, which I've been wanting for a long time. So I now have a ginkgo biloba, which is a sacred tree, legend to be kept alive by Buddhist monks because it's so ancient. There's no other trees living today that have roots that go back to the ginkgo. And, of course, it's good for memory, which is why I want it. You can use the leaves of the ginkgo biloba to help your memory because it helps vascular circulation in the brain. So anyway, that was my peak time, was getting a tree. You got bit. I got a tree. We're so cool. Oh, see, you never wanted a dull life, Whisper. You never wanted
a
boring life. So there
exactly.
You go.
Never a dull life. Never, you just never know what's going on. And like I said, it's been 48 hours, but I don't know if I'm out of the woods yet. We'll take one day at a time and actually see what happens. But I'm glad your class and the chicken tractor class went really well. That's absolutely awesome. We were both doing, power to the poultry learning over the weekend. So.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, I was just a resource person. It was Pierre was actually giving the class. And, you know, then the neatest thing happened. I had said, hey, come on, Pierre, I'll buy you lunch. And we went over to the Blue Ridge Brewery and had a beer and pizza. And an old, old friend of mine that I've known for 20 years, Michael LaChance, who is the extension agent, I think he's head of the extension there in the Nelson County, was all joined us. And so we had a lot of chat about the ways of the future and some grant possibilities. Michael wants to work together on a grant to do some interesting things with poultry. So who knows what's coming out of this serendipity life that we both lead. So it can only be good, I can assure you. What do you think?
I agree. I've met so many nice people. And you know what? I've gotten some nice compliments in my day. But at the Chicks for Charity, I had a young lady come up, her and her husband, and she came up to me and just really gave me goosebumps to what she said. And I had heard this kind of slant on compliment before. I've had this particular sort of compliment a few times in the past, and talk about making you feel good and get goosebumps. But she came up to me and she was like, you know, very at the bottom of her heart, she was just like, you know what? I just want to thank you so much for doing what you do. You know, literally because of you, it's completely changed my life and my husband's life. Our lives have improved because of what you do. You know, you're truly a, you know, if you will, the true sense of a community organizer, and you're just doing great things across the country to teach people this and the value of this and what this can be and lifestyle and the whole nine yards. And she just really, it was amazing, gave me goosebumps about the compliment that she gave me about changing her life. And I also heard from another member of our group, and of course I'm not naming any names for both of these compliments, but I heard through the grapevine that one of the members of her family actually has cancer, has been being treated with for the cancer, not in remission yet, so they're still going through this, still going through the treatments and whatnot, and that has been really the focus of their family for many weeks now. And they said, and they were, they're like, you know, having the chicks in the house has really uplifted us, the family. It's gotten our mind off, you know, the big C, the cancer, and has really, you know, we've seen smiles on our family's faces this week and this weekend, and we've really had a good time with it, but got us focused on something else other than this. And so it was really a couple of different ways that how backyard poultry, sustainable lifestyle, the meetup groups that are across the country, this in particular, the Atlanta Backyard Poultry Meetup Group, actually can change lives and bring people together for you know, one cause. This was a great event to raise money for a nonprofit charity. It brought people together. We had people that talk a lot with each other online in the forums, but have never actually met each other, so they got to meet each other. So it was just really a great time and for camaraderie for everybody. And we all had a really good time, so I was really really pleased. It makes you feel good when you hear that from somebody, and how what you're doing and what you've done changed their lives for the better. So I appreciate those of you who came up and made those comments to me on Saturday. In fact, I really needed those comments after I had been bitten by a caterpillar about 20 times. So it actually made me feel better being what was going on in my life at that time. So I say that I got goosebumps. It may have just been a reaction to the caterpillar. No, I'm just kidding. It was truly it was truly goosebumps. It was really good, and it made me feel really good about that. So had a great time. What I wanted to do for a little bit today, because I know we have a lot of the people who picked up baby chicks on Saturday are listening to the show, so I want to welcome them. Thank you very much for tuning in today. Hope you're enjoying your new arrivals, if you will. Hope you got lots of great varieties of breeds, and they were all standard breeds, and I'm pretty sure good brown and white and green egg layers. We had some Americanas in there, Easter eggers in there. So what I wanted to do a little bit today is talk about brooding. Really the art of brooding. I know that we've done this in the past, but again, we have lots of new listeners every day, and due to the fact that we gave away about 800 baby chicks Saturday, we have a lot of people who, pardon me, took advantage of that and probably want a little bit more knowledge. Yeah, exactly.
The Benadryl side effects are still with you there.
The day and the weekend of a day in the life of the chicken whisperer. And so they're interested in brooding. Of course, they saw examples of brooders. They got their question answered in the whole nine yards. But we just wanted to talk a little bit about brooding today. So what we're going to do is go to a quick commercial break. We come back, Pat and I. We'll just kind of have some good conversation and talk about brooding. What is brooding? What is a brooder? Little tips of the trade that we've learned along the way. How long? You know, as we come into fall, things to be careful for, especially the fire hazard that we'll definitely talk to you about. And so we're going to go to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about brooding today, and then a little bit later in the show, we're going to give away at least, I guess, three prizes. We've got some Happy Hen Treats from RandallBurkey.com left over from Friday's show. We've got today, of course, sponsored by Crazy K Farm, makers of the Hen Saver Hen Apron. We're going to give one of those away today, and, of course, a 600 pounds of ManaPro Egg Maker Laying Pellets to one lucky listener. So we're going to go to break. Stay with us, folks. We'll be back. See you soon.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFRadio.com. That's GQFRadio.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
ManaPro understands that poultry owners are as diverse as the birds they care for, which is why they offer both medicated and non-medicated starters. Whichever product you choose, you know you're getting great nutrition for your new chicks. Look for ManaPro products at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Super Caterpillar is what I am now. I just transformed into this big yellow fuzzy caterpillar. So, all righty, thank you very much for staying with us today. It is a crazy Monday. It's been a crazy week last week, a crazy weekend, and we have hopefully some great shows for you this week. It looks like this coming Wednesday is September 1st. Can't believe it, but Wednesday, September 1st, we will have The Living Garden with Jane Jensen, The Living Garden with Jane Jensen on Wednesday. She'll be joining us, teaching us something else about year-round gardening. And then this Thursday, it's Poultry Today with Dr. McCray. She'll be joining us on Thursday, having a great topic for us on that day. Then, of course, Friday, another great fun Friday here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And tomorrow, I'm going to do my best, it may be short notice, but to see if somebody, pardon me, from the USDA can come on and explain to us just in general the difference between the different grades of eggs, grade A, B, C, D, and ungradable, and then, of course, unsellable. of course, the legal definitions of organic, USDA organic, what that really means, free range, cage free, and get those definitions out there so people can know exactly what they are buying in the stores. I think that's very, very important for people to get to be educated. And when they learn, they may choose to go ahead and get some backyard chickens in their backyard and enjoy the benefits of knowing where their food comes from. So we'll try to have that for you. Pardon me, if not tomorrow, then maybe over the next couple of weeks we can get the USD on and describe all of the legal aspects of that right from them. But today we're going to talk a little bit about brooding, because we do have many new chick owners from the Chicks for Charity event that are tuning in today, and we're going to explain to them exactly why they got what they got yesterday and the purposes of what that, and so we can educate them a little bit more, even though they got plenty of education yesterday from all of our volunteers. A brooder, what exactly is a brooder? Well, it's going to be your baby chicks home for the first, depending on what season and where you're at across the country, first 4 weeks, 6 weeks to 8 weeks, again, depending on the outside temperature, when they actually completely feather out and are ready to go outside into the elements, into the coop, or if you have a starter pen, kind of from the brooder to the starter pen and then into the coop. And so that'll be their first home. Really, the goal or the purpose of a brooder is to keep them warm, dry, have a feed and water source, and keep them basically safe from predators. And that can include your house pets if you have this brooder inside. Brooder could pretty much consist of just a few things. What we like to start people on a lot is a Rubbermaid bin. Could be a plastic bin, not necessarily the Rubbermaid brand. We like the 45-gallon Rubbermaid bin because it's elongated enough where you can clamp the heat source, the heat lamp bulb and the heat lamp on one end, and then you has enough space for the baby chicks to actually, based on their comfort level, move closer to the light, move a little bit further away from the light based on their comfort level. So if you look in the brooder and all of them are hovering underneath that lamp as close as they can, then of course they're too cold. If they're in the very, very, very back corner, Away from the heat lamp, then you know it's too hot. You need to move that heat lamp up. You need to lower the wattage of the actual bulb. And so, of course, you do have the container. Some people just will use a simple, large, old cardboard box. But that's fine. You just have to think about the fire hazard there. A lot of people will just use a big cardboard box, whether it be a refrigerator box, an old microwave box, a computer box. I guess those are getting smaller and smaller now. Maybe a dishwasher box, big cardboard moving box. Just remember about the fire hazard. We'll talk about that in just a second. So if you have to have some type of box for them to be contained in, then you, of course, have a water. When I set people up in the 45-gallon Rubbermaid-style bin, we do clamp the heat lamp on one end. And then we have a one-gallon waterer that we set down into the brooder, and we have a quart feeder. That we put down into the, and we separate those. We separate the feed farthest away from the water we can, because I've noticed that when the feed is scratched into the waterer, it spoils and it actually ends up stinking more than the actual baby chicks themselves, because it spoils as the feed gets into that water. So a quart, we like the quart feeder, we like the gallon waterer, and then you've got the heat lamp. Now, I'm not a big fan of the cheaper heat lamps that have the plastic end on them where the bulb screws into. It's plastic and it has an on-off switch, and then you plug that in and you actually turn it on by the switch. They're a little bit cheaper than the ones I'm going to recommend, but I've seen them melt due to the heat of the bulb, because they're going to be on 24 hours, 7 days a week for the most part for several weeks. So spend another $3. That's literally about all it is, $3 to $4, maybe $5 tops more. They range anywhere from $9 to $15 for a good heat lamp that has the ceramic base that you can screw the light bulb in. It's rated for higher wattage, and it has a direct wire. You plug it in, it turns on. You unplug it, it turns off. There's no switch in there to melt or to short out or anything like that. Plug it in, it turns on. Unplug it, it turns off. And it's got that nice ceramic base that you can screw the bulb in. Can tolerate much higher temperature. But still, I still will duct tape mine onto the bin And because how many times, I think every year we've been doing this, and I've shared, been doing and traveling around, I share with people just this last year, a house burnt completely to the ground. The family lost everything they had because they were brooding chickens around Easter time. So please, whether you use an infrared heater, there's gas heaters out there, there's the bulb heater. Well, I don't care what it is. If it's producing heat, it's a fire hazard. So you need to be very, very careful. That's one of the big, big cautions and warnings when we talk about brooding chicks is that fire hazard that you're using for your heat source. So please, please be very careful with that. Seems like every year that I can remember, a house is burned down to the ground because of somebody brooding chicks, pardon me, across the country. So definitely be aware of that. Obviously, for the shavings in the bottom, aspen shavings are going to be the number one top recommended shavings for the bottom of the brooder. And a lot of people recommend actually waiting 3 to 4 days, maybe 5 days before you put the shavings in until the chicks can actually differentiate between food and what is shavings. So some people may put the shavings down and then on top of that put a burlap sack or a burlap bag on top of the shavings. And then once they get the idea of what food is, what water is, then you can remove that burlap sack and put them right in onto the shavings. Regarding that, some people like to put marbles in the water. You don't want a big deep dish. I have heard rumors of chicks drowning in the water. So also, if you have bright colored marbles that you can put in the base tray of the water, it'll attract them to it. It also makes it a little shallow, so they can't get in the water, walk around in the water, but yet they can still access the water and drink the water that is in the waterer. So you have to be real careful for that. Be prepared in about 2 weeks, or maybe a little less time. They will want to fly up to the top of the water or the feeder, and then from there they will like to fly from there up to the outside of the brooder and then maybe down to the floor of wherever you have them. So a lot of times you can take the lid of the brooder. A lot of times those Rubbermaid bins will come with a lid. You can actually take a Dremel tool or a good set of shears and cut out kind of the center of that and then put some hardware cloth and screw that into it and so it's open, and then clamp the lid down and so they can't fly out at all. A lot of times simple blueberry netting or plant netting over the top will work just fine. Jen and I love to go to the dollar store and buy $1 funnels, little plastic funnels, and we'll actually tape them, super glue them, or I guess hot glue them to the top of the feeder and the waterer so they can't actually jump up on top of the feeder or the waterer because the funnel's there. They can't get feet in the grip, and so they just slide down, and then they don't attempt it any longer. Or you can just get some cardboard and roll it up into a funnel shape and then hot glue it or super glue it to the top of the feeder or the waterer so they can't jump up on top of the feeder or water, then use that to jump out of the brooder. Then you may not need any netting until they can fly all the way out of the brooder, and then you can put some netting on top of that or that clamp that lid on with that hardware cloth there actually on the top of it. Also, be aware, watch your chicks if they're away from the heat or if they're too hot. I've had more chicks come back to me. I've had more calls about dead chicks from overheating than underheating. So, but again, if they're all up underneath the heat, you may want to lower the lamp a little bit or increase the wattage of your actual bulb there. And Pat, mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us some of your tricks of the trade when it comes to brooding?
Okay, Whisper. Thank you. I gotta tell you, brooding just brings out the mother hen in me. I love brooding and raising those little peeps, and they grow so fast, and I get so proud of them. But you had mentioned earlier about using aspen bedding instead of pine or maybe cedar, and I just wanted to emphasize that a little bit because it's just not yet common knowledge that the same sweet smells that pine gives off and insect-repelling properties of cedar can be toxic, especially to young chicks. I think in the long run they can be toxic to adult chickens as well if they're down in the bedding all the time. It can lead to respiratory problems. But especially those tiny little lungs that are just down there at literally the shaving level that are breathing those in. And so ever since that I've switched to using the aspen shavings, I haven't had any respiratory problems at all. And the thing is, the respiratory problems don't show up sometimes until after they're even outside. And all of a sudden, you'll hear a little gurgling. You wonder, gosh, where could that have come from or whatever? And then it's possible to trace it back. So the aspen shavings come in the big bales, just the way the pine shavings do. What is it, 3 or 4 cubic square feet? They're only a few dollars more. It's not a budget breaker at all, and so that's I think it's important for long-term health care to use aspen and not to use the pine, and never use the cedar for poultry. Mm-hmm. So thank you for bringing that up. I really appreciate that. And the other thing, I don't like to use the high wattage bulbs, Whisper. I know they're standard, and they're the red ones especially, they help decrease pecking. But I found in brooding micro flocks, which would be 25 or less, and sometimes even 50 or 100, that if you use just a 60-watt bulb and put it lower, and then use what we're calling a brooder blanket to just kind of put over the top to keep the heat in, that you can get by with a lot less wattage. And I think it's a lot easier on the chicks. And when you think about having 250 watts right there, right above you, 24/7, it's a lot of energy. It's a lot of radiant energy. So I'd rather have 260 watts in separated out, so the chicks can sort of self-regulate their body temperatures, than one 250-watt bulb. And of course, it's an energy saver as well. But the brooder blanket, if you can use anything, even just a regular blanket, I like to use the reflectant insulation. There's these little Reflectex, I think is what it's called. It's like a little space blanket. And then that way, I can just put it over there, reflects the heat back in, and I can tell if they need to have more circulation, because moisture will form on the other side if they're not getting enough circulation and the humidity is too high. So then I just pull the blanket back a little bit. It increases air circulation, and that takes care of that problem. Whisper, you okay?
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with that.
I didn't know if I should call 911 yet, because I'm still worried about you with those caterpillar bites. Is he croaking here?
We use it basically if it's going to be like in an area inside the house, inside the sunroom, maybe even inside a garage, then we'll use, we've got a bunch of them here, it's 125-watt heat lamp bulb. And then if they're going to be, if it's wintertime, if it's December, January, they're out in a carport or a garage or a work shed or something like that, then we have used the 250. But like I said, we have a brooder in our garage that's 12 feet long by about 6 feet, maybe 7 feet wide. And so there's plenty of room in there for all kinds of little baby chicks. And again, if it's in spring or fall, then we will do the maybe the 125. But if it's right smack dab in February, January, December, we'll have the 250. But again, we're not using the 250 in like a Rubbermaid bin that's only 45 gallons. This is in a big 12-foot by 6-foot brooder, and they can literally get 4 or 5 feet away from the bulbs. But that's again in our car, in our garage, in the middle of winter. Routinely, we'll just use a 125 on one end, and like I said, you can find regular light bulbs that aren't the heat bulbs per se that you'll put in your bathroom or in a heat lamp that go up to maybe 250 even, that can produce some heat that just may not be. And of course, the issue with the red versus the clear, a lot of that comes from commercial chicks, and this is just my personal opinion. If you stuff a lot of baby chicks in a small area, then you probably want to use a red bulb, because I guess some studies show that it will reduce the amount of pecking and picking on each other, because you have, again, too small of a brooder and too many chicks in that brooder. But I think that if you're responsible and you have the right number of baby chicks and the right amount of room, you're not going to need that red bulb. If you do it, I think, the right way, a clear bulb should be fine. And then I've used white for, 10 years and haven't had any issues with it. I think the issue with the red bulb is though they won't peck each other, but I think if space is limited and you put an awful lot of chicks in a real small area, then the Red Bull, you know, you may want to consider doing that. So and of course they have all kinds of really cool heaters now, infrared, that actually the chick and not the air that the chick sends. So all kinds of great technology that's coming out with brooders. But the biggest thing is that you just, whatever heat source you use, be very careful due to fire hazard, because like I said, many houses have burned to the ground across America for brooding chicks that they got around the Easter season, because they just they don't attach it, or they don't take the precautions they need to actually do that. So yes, they're going to probably be on Chickstarter, and actually at the Chicks for Charity we had on Saturday. The TC Country Sales, you name it, brand feed, they have it all. But we did have a feed company there. I think it was Highland Naturals, I believe, that was there. And I was taking a look at their feed, even their starter feed, and they were giving a little bit of it away for free in the smaller bags to let people try. And I looked at it, and it really looked like just ground up scratch. I mean, there's a lot of stuff went into it. And so I mentioned to them, I said, you know, when you have people buy this for their baby chicks, do you also recommend that they purchase grit? Because, I mean, I see some pretty decent pieces of corn in here, yeah, and grain and seeds. And I'm like, here are these two-day-old baby chicks. And, you know, they're inside this brooder. They can't, they're not that scratching, getting grit, you know, and you know, whatever. And so they did say that they did add what one would call maybe chick grit to it, into the feed to help them. But I just want to explain that if you're feeding basically a commercial feed, say the Manipro medicated chick starter, the Manipro non-medicated chick starter, that, you know, that's a processed feed that's produced, and your baby chicks don't need any grit. They're not getting any whole grains, cracked grains, anything like that. They need help digesting down in the gizzard. So I normally, when I go to these webinars and seminars and things, you know, I've never given grit because my chicks have never needed grit. Now, once they're outside, they get grit naturally from the ground, from my backyard, in the dirt, and in the sand pile, and everything else. But if you're giving them that, say the Manipro chick starter, medicated or medicated, whichever you choose, then it's necessarily it's physically and scientifically they're not need the grit to help digest that. But if you start giving them whole grains, maybe some anything cracked grain, scratch grains, things like that, then they're going to need that grit down in the gizzard to help break that up. And so they this one particular company did add some grit into their feed, because I get that question a lot about grit. Now we when we talk about that, and then the next most popular question, then we got to get on to our chicken trivia. And then we'll have you chime in here before we do that. But the other issue is when do I start them on laying food? And I'll wrap up my portion of this here. Basically, there's people do it three different ways. A lot of people, and there's probably more ways than that, but the most common three ways are they will actually give chick starter for the first 16 weeks, and then at 16 weeks they will put them on the layer pellets, layer mash, or layer crumble. So for about 16 weeks, they're on the starter feed, and then at 16, they switch over to the layer feed. Some people will actually give starter for 8 weeks, then they will give a grower for 8 weeks, and then they'll actually give a then they'll get at 16 weeks, they'll put them on the layer. So a lot of people actually will do that. So they'll give starter for 16 weeks and then go to layer. They'll do starter for 8 weeks, grower 8 weeks, and then at 16 weeks they'll put them on layer. And then a lot of people will actually keep them on starter all the way until they see the first egg, and when they see the first egg, that's when they'll start the layer. So those are, over the last few years of talking with people, a lot of people, those are the three ways that people choose, whatever research they do and the decisions they make on their own, kind of choose as far as when to go over to layer pellets. Those are the three most common that I hear on a regular basis. Pat, any last comments about brooding you think these folks need to know in this short little segment before we get on to our chicken trivia contest?
Yeah, thanks, Whisper. Just two things that I think are critically important. Excuse me. And one is drafts. And a lot of people, they're in a room and they think, oh, there's no drafts in here. They can't feel it, you know, head high. But if you go down to the chick level, and this has killed probably more baby chicks than anything that I know of. One of our 4-H seasoned 4-Hers that had been in the poultry chain for years, they lost half of their 100 chicks, and they couldn't figure out why. Well, at the chick level, there was a pretty strong floor draft going on. So one of the ways to test that is to just use a little Vol candle and put it down there and see if that flame is dancing at all, because if there is, then you've got a draft coming in from somewhere, and you'll have to figure out where it is. That's one of the advantages, like you were saying, of the Tubbs Whisper, is that they are pretty well draft-proof unless it comes down from the top.
Right.
But really, pay attention to drafts and, of course, to proper ventilation, because they do need enough fresh air, but not so much that the humidity gets too high. And then the other thing, it's just a comment, and it's an observation. I've talked to quite a few people about it, but I think, in my opinion, these little baby heritage chicks need more protein than is really available in most of the commercial feeds. And so what I do is I take hard-boiled eggs and chop them up and sometimes mix them with some sesame seed or something, but I supplement their protein with hard-boiled eggs for quite a while, at least through the first month or so. And they just gobble them down. I mean, they just gobble it down like crazy. And I also give them access to fine sand, and I even put a little little chick size, about a little 4x4 mini box in there with sand, and they'll go through 25 chicks will go through 10 pounds of sand. Some of it's of course spread around, but they do eat a lot as well, and I have hardly any pasty butts that come out of those chicks. I think the two having the extra protein and that really fine sand to get going really helps. So those are my two cents worth.
No, great. And of course pasty butt you had mentioned, and of course Harbor Hen talked about that. Really need to keep an eye on this for about the first 3 weeks, really. And my experience, if you go out and you have a dozen baby chicks in your brooder, and let's say you have three that have pasty butt today, more than likely those same three will have pasty butt tomorrow. And the next day, the others that don't have pasty butt today probably won't have it tomorrow. It's very interesting how that works, but you do need to check on a daily basis. It's just the... is where that basically they get backed up and the feces dries on their little behinds, and you have to take a warm, wet paper towel, pardon me, and actually work that off and wipe that off around the vent area of the baby chick, because that will it will clog them up, give them constipation, and then it will kill the baby chicks.
It so pasty
butt is absolutely so. It is very important for you to check that on a daily basis.
One of the tricks that I've used, and I haven't written this in the City Chicks or the brooding books, but I'll take a magic marker and just put a little red or blue stripe just between their shoulders, so I can really easily identify who has a problem, and especially the pasty butt. And that way I can just kind of glance in and track it there in the brooder. So that's another way of just keeping track of who might be need a little more tender, loving care than some of the others. Yeah. So, okay.
Cool. Nope, I'm still here. I was typing something here in the chat room. But we'll go ahead and go to the, it is time to start the Chicken at Trivia contest for today. We're going to start off with the Happy Hen Treats Sunflower Sensation. We were going to give these away on Friday, RandallBurkey.com, our sponsor on Friday. But due to timing, we couldn't quite give them away. So we've got we'll have the Sunflower Sensation that we're giving away to one lucky listener and caller. I'm going to go ahead and issue the phone number. It never changes, so you should have it on a post-it note there by your computer. 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. If you know the answer to the following question, we will take caller number 8. Let's just have some fun with caller number 8. And the first question is, and this comes to us from the Kentucky 4-H Poultry Bowl questions and answers. So this comes to us from the Kentucky 4-H Poultry Bowl quiz question and answers. So the answer actually has to match the answer I have from that document. The question is, caller number 8, 347-637-3237, what is the temperature of an egg when laid? what is the exact temperature of an egg when laid? That's what we're looking for. If you know the answer to that question, 347-637-3237 for a nice big jug of Sunflower Sensation Happy Hen Treats from RandallBerkey.com. Caller number 8, what is the temperature of an egg when it is laid? So I'm going to let you ponder on that for just a second. And if you have any chickens in the news, Pat, you can share it. I'm just going to run right over here to the other room and get a little Hall's cough drop. Also, yesterday I had a cold. Last week I had a little cold, sniffly, sneezies, and so talking for an hour and a half sometimes will make my throat a little scratchy. So give me a second. I'm going to head over there and get a Hall's. I'll come right back, and hopefully we will have a winner of this question. Caller number 8, if they're the right caller. So call on in, and I'll be back in just one second.
Okay. Well, I don't really have any chickens in the news, but there was an interesting piece that came over the lines. That this is from the Mercola.com, and it says, don't avoid this. Don't get confused thinking that eggs are dirty, because they're not. And what it says, when you wander down the poultry aisle in the grocery store, have you ever wondered about the history of the bird that is shrink-wrapped into that tidy little package? And have you ever even wondered further about the role that chickens have played in the lives and the cultures of humans worldwide? And chances are, of course, you haven't asked any of these questions.
Right.
Yeah. Whisper, you there?
Yeah, I'm listening. This is fascinating. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. You want to go ahead with the trivia question?
I love that question when you see that chicken in the package at the store, where it came from and what its life was like.
Yeah. Well, it's quite a long article. I mean, this would be a whole discussion for a couple of episodes, but it goes into the one, how we've denigrated our livestock into treating them such that they have to be dirty, foul,
right.
and that's what's caused this problem to start with. It's something we know very much, very much. But it also goes into the advantages of backyard hens, of course, and how chickens have really been with people for thousands of years. I think the first hen was domesticated. Didn't we have this as a trivia question, Whisper, something like 10,000 years ago? It was before Christ, anyway, when the people were domesticating chickens. So I think we're entering into a new phase in our culture, and this is just my musing, of rediscovering that link between chickens and community, and how they really can bring a community together, and not just necessarily with food, meat, and eggs, but also with the role that they play in agriculture, providing fertilizer and all. So that's what I was talking about there. So why don't we get back to the trivia question?
No, thanks for sharing that. I completely agree. When people walk through there and they see, you know, because and Christine Heinrich will tell you, I mean, we've even had people that come on and tell us, you know, this breed would be best for roasting, this breed would be best for rotisserie, this breed would be best for frying, and here's why, and the history. And it is important to buy heritage breeds to even eat. It sounds crazy, these birds, the heritage breed, that by consuming them, if you choose to do so in your lifestyle, why heritage breeds, why that's important to continue the breed. It's amazing when we had that show how much I learned about the philosophy there, but very, very interesting. But, yeah, we'll go to caller number 8 right now and see if they know the answer to this question. You are live on the air with Andy and Pat, Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Caller calling in from area code 503. 503, you're on the air. If you'll state your name and what state you're calling from, please.
Hi, Andy. This is Kristen from Oregon.
Kristen, great.
Hey, Kristen.
Yeah, and I'm excited because I tell you I missed out on the Facebook fan contest question yesterday, but because of that, I know the answer.
Absolutely. I was telling my personal assistant, Christina, that I said, you know, maybe somebody saw this yesterday on our Facebook page. If so, they have a bonus, but there's still no guarantee they're win, because then they have to be the right caller, caller number 8. So they
right.
have a plus, but then they still have to be lucky and be the right caller. So I guess you know the right answer from our Facebook contest yesterday. What answer are you going to give us today?
It's 104 degrees.
104 degrees is what we have from the Kentucky Poultry Bowl, from their 4-H questions that they ask every year. And so, yes, it did have to match that, 104 degrees. That doesn't mean you can maybe find 103 or 105 somewhere out there on Google or Scroogle or Yahoo. Don't email it to me, because it has to match our answer, and I'll tell you where we normally get our answer from. So 104 degrees, you are correct. So, Krista, since you are on Facebook, if you would,
just Facebook me to my personal page, Andy Schneider, just your shipping address, and then I'll make sure I get that over to Randall Berkey over at Peach so they can ship you out that sunflower sensation from them carrying over from Friday, Kristen. And I want to thank you for listening to the show and participating, and I hope you have a great week, and don't get bit by any caterpillars.
Awesome. Will do. I will steer clear of them.
Great. Thank you so
Thanks.
Much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kristen. Bye-bye.
All right, there we go. Let's see, how much time? We got about 8 minutes. I think we can squeeze two more in. This next one is going to be, of course, today being Monday. Every Monday is sponsored by Crazy K Farm, makers and creators of the Hen Saver Hen Apron. So the next caller will win Hen Saver Hen Apron. And so you've probably heard this question on here before, so many of you may know it. So we're going to take caller number 10. Caller number 10 at 347-637-3237. Which chicken breed has black bones? Which chicken breed has black bones? A lot of people know this. If they've listened to the show, we've had this question on before, but we get so many different listeners so many different days. And so this is for, the Crazy K Farm, makers of the Hen Saver Hen Aprons or the Hen Saddles, that if you have a overzealous and very, very loving rooster that's causing some damage to his favorite hens, then this may be the answer for you. Also, it may prevent an unexpected hawk attack. I know Pat uses these and really likes them a lot, and you can even get some with the eyes on them to try to deter the predators. So I think we said caller number 10 at 347-637-3237. Which breed of chicken has black bones? Black bones, that's what we're looking for the Crazy K Farm Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hopefully the board will light up real quick, and then we can get on to our major question of the day for 600 pounds of ManaPro Egg Maker Laying Pellets. And that's 12 coupons. Each coupon is good for one 50-pound bag of feed. So we are actually looking for caller number 10 here. What breed of chicken actually has black bones? You're welcome for caller number 10, 347-637-3237. And as this is lighting up here, we're going to go to the phone lines. In just a minute, let me get this number down. All righty, here we go. Caller number 10. Get my mouse over here to the switchboard. All righty, caller number 10 from area code 229. 229, please state your name and what state you're calling from, please.
Hi, my name's Kevin, and I'm calling from California, even though I have a Georgia number.
Okay, no problem. Kevin in California with a Georgia number, very good. And the answer to the question, or you think, which breed of chicken has black bones?
I believe it is Silky.
That is correct. It is the Silky breed of chicken does have black bones, and so that's the answer we were looking for. You have won a Hen Saver Hen Apron from Crazy K Farm. So congratulations, Kevin. Kevin, are you on Facebook?
I am.
Okay. If you'll just do the same thing, if you'll just send me over a Facebook instant message, mail, email, whatever you call it there on Facebook, to my personal page, Andy Schneider. I don't think you can send it to the Chicken Whisperer page. Just send me your shipping address and put in there what you have, and then we'll get you, I'll contact or forward your information over to Toby at Crazy K Farm, and I'll get that out to you this week. So thank you very much for listening.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And now we've got 5 minutes remaining, and it is now time for the Grand Daddy Prize of them all. Of course, this is for, it's basically a year supply of food, we call it. It's 12 50-pound bags of ManaPro Egg Maker Laying Pellets, and you'll basically get 12 coupons. Each coupon will be good for one 50-pound bag of ManaPro feed, and you can probably get with this, I'm not sure exactly the details, you can probably get their maybe a 50-pound bag of their starter or their grower or the egg maker, whether you like the mash or the pellets. But nonetheless, 600 pounds of ManaPro feed. Yep, absolutely. So here we go. The question is, and we're going to take caller number 7. What a lucky number. Caller lucky number 7. What are all six classes
that the standard breeds of chickens fall under. According to the American Standard, what are all the six classes that the standard of perfection, what are all six classes that the standard breeds of chickens fall under? That's what we're looking for. There are six classes, and this is according to the American Standard of Perfection. What are all six classes that the standard breeds of chickens must fall under? 347-637-3237, caller number 7. Yep, a little bit more difficult question, because think about the prize. This is a great value, 600 pounds of ManaPro feed for your chickens. Caller number 7 with the right answer is going to win that if they can tell me what are all six classes that the standard breeds of chickens fall under according to the American Standard of Perfection. We're running out of time, so I'm going to get over here to the switchboard, and we are looking for caller
questions.
Number.
Your questions have are just really great, Whisper. They're a remarkable source. I love them.
I can't take credit. It's my personal assistant.
Ascendant?
That's a part of her. Yeah, that's a part of her. Her wonderful talents there, and doing so much for me is to come up with these trivia questions. So, absolutely. Okay. Well, we lots of people apparently knew this. So we're gonna go right now to the phone lines. All righty, you are live on the air with Andy and Pat, Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. You are caller number 7, and calling in from area code, 859. If you'll state your name and what state you're calling from. Caller calling in from 859. You know what, Pat? They just hung up.
Oh my goodness!
So you know what that means? We have to call up now.
Go to the next one.
Yep, we go to 8. So give me 1 second here. Got to get the number down, and we're running out of time. Perfect. Here we go. All righty. Now, your caller number 8 is, if you don't hang up, you'll have a chance to win. Caller calling in from area code 214, if you'll state your name and what state you're calling from.
This is Dave calling from Texas.
Who is it?
David.
David.
Hey, David.
East Dallas Dave.
Oh, great. From Texas. All righty. We got just coming up, approaching on a minute. So if you'll go ahead and let me know the six, that'll be great.
Okay, that'd be the six classes.
Still with us?
I don't know. I'm here.
David?
Oh, my gosh, what a cliffhanger.
I don't hear David any longer. He has
another white. You're going to have to save it for Monday, Whisper.
Looks like I am, because we only have 40 seconds left. I'm at my switchboard, and I have absolutely nobody live, and maybe it was his cell phone if he was calling in from a cell, but do not have 214, and he hadn't called back in. So we'll just have to save it for Monday, folks. Thank you very much for tuning in today. Hopefully, if there's not a delayed reaction to my caterpillar bites I had Saturday, I'll be here tomorrow at 12 with Pat. Pat, take it away real quick.
I know we don't have much time. Okay, well, thank you, Whisper, for bringing us all together. We're glad you haven't changed into a caterpillar yet, but I'm sure if you did, it would be a beautiful one. Thanks to the chat room chicken ears for clucking along, and all our listeners. We so appreciate you being here. We would not be here without you. God bless to everyone, and may the flock be with you. Thank you.